That's why this gets more attention. So I thought it was well done. They talked to a lot of different people, from coaches, administrators, players at ESPN.com. And it involved a number of writers covering college football. And some of the quotes are pretty incredible. Some, I think, offer good insight. The first person quoted in the story is Nick Saban. So the talking to football coaches. Nick Saban said this regarding the one-time transfer allowance without having to sit out. Quote, I don't know how you manage a roster when this goes into effect. I can't manage our roster now. Last year, we had 8 seniors on our team. We had 7 guys go out for the draft and 3 graduate transfers, or guys that ended up transferring. So instead of having 18 seniors, you've got 8. You really have a 3-year program at a place like this. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to hurt our program, because we'll do a hell of a job recruiting players leaving other places to come here. But is that good for college football? A couple things confuse me there. One, when he says, I can't manage our roster now, he seems to be doing fine managing the roster. I think it's in pretty good shape.
Yep.
Two, well, if you're talking about all these guys who have left, well, then you're already doing that. You're already having to shuffle the roster. So how much of a change is there really? I do want to be clear here. I think there will be an increase in transfers with the one-time allowance. But I think what's forgotten is that players are already transferring. They just, in some cases, have to sit out, because in some cases they don't. Justin Fields played right away at Ohio State. You have grad transfers who are already moving on, so this wouldn't even affect those guys. That already exists. I want to read another quote to you and then see what you think here. We'll continue going. Todd Berry, former coach. He's the executive director of the American Football Coaches Association right now. This, to me, is just mind-blowing. He said, quote, we don't want to lower graduation rates. We don't want recruiting off other campuses. I don't think I'm talking irrationally here, because history already tells us what's going to happen. What would be the motivation for universities to recruit from high schools anymore? You're basically going to recruit off other campuses. Dependent upon where you are on that food chain, it's going to affect how many high school athletes you would actually take. From a coaching perspective, many times it's easier to take a proven player off another campus. I don't think the fan bases are going to enjoy this either. He actually said, what would be the motivation for universities to recruit from high schools anymore? I'm going to take a stab at it, and it's to have a roster.
Yeah.
You think you're going to have a roster of 85 football players that are transfers? I mean,
that's hyperbole, yeah.
For sure, but he also says, I don't think I'm talking irrationally here. That is as irrational as I've seen it, to say, what's the motivation to recruit high schools anymore? As if every year, every player on every team is going to get up and leave. That's absurd.
There would also be some sort of language in this where if you are a coach and you are caught texting, like tampering, I mean, the NFL has it in their language. If you're caught texting and communicating with a player saying, hey, come here, that's active on another roster, they're going to make sure that that exists, where there would be a punishment for tampering, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they will doing it. Yeah. Because, by the way, tampering already happens.
Exactly. So the thing about the Nick Saban comment, I want to go back to there, because I think the other comments, who was the last one?
Todd Berry.
Yeah. That is just so...
Most recently, the head coach at Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah.
Now with the coach association.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And one, his size schools are the biggest beneficiaries of transfers, because guess what? Guys like Nick Saban, they recruit all these amazing, talented guys, and then when they can't cut the mustard at Alabama, he runs them, okay? And where do they transfer? They usually transfer down a level because they realize they can't play at the Alabamas of the world. So
yeah, for some reason, it seems to be forgotten that players don't only transfer up, that they transfer down as well.
More transfer down, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... I don't know the ratio. But, yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. Eric Musselman pointed that out. He's Arkansas's basketball coach. Before he was at Arkansas, he was at Nevada, and he pointed out Kendall Stevens, Hallis Cook, the Martin twins, that was a great thing for their careers. They were at bigger places, transferred down to Nevada, and they thrived in that environment at a lower level, at a mid-major level.
Yeah, so I feel like everybody, and you know, Nick Saban loves a good soapbox. I mean, when he finds something that he does not like, he harps on it. So we will hear about this at SEC spring meetings. You will hear about this at SEC media days, because this seems to be like his number one hot button issue. Other sports survive it all the time. all the time. I mean, Tennessee, this is several years ago, and I know nobody cares because it's volleyball, but they have a girl that's going to be competing in the Olympics on the Olympic team. She was the SEC Player of the Year. She has a dispute. She wants to leave Tennessee. She transfers and immediately goes to Nebraska and plays. Guess what? Life goes on. You got to replace those players. You know, I just don't understand how people are really freaking out about this. And also, you get one shot. If you start getting the transfer bug every year, then you're sitting.
Yeah.
So I just really don't understand. I'm having a hard time comprehending how people are just freaking out about it. And two, I like to give him credit because we criticize, you know, when we don't like a move. But Jeremy Pruitt, very open, having been a transfer himself. He is all about the transfer portal and helping these guys succeed before and after Tennessee.
Yeah, and I also want to point out, not everybody is saying crazy things like Todd Berry. I think that's absurd, and I think that needs to be called out publicly. But Sonny Dykes, he's at SMU. He's coaching the Pac-12. He, I thought, brought better perspective on the situation. He said, quote, this is from ESPN. We'll tweet out the link at Sports 180. The NCAA has to have a rule that's consistent for all sports. I don't know why the transfer rule in football is different than it is in lacrosse or women's track and field. It all ought to be the same. It's a common sense approach in what they're doing and considering. I think young people have character, and I don't think some kid that says, I've been the best player at SMU for 2 or 3 years, I want to go see if I can be the best player somewhere else. I just don't think there are that many kids who think that way. It might happen occasionally, and when it does, it'll be painful, but at the same time, why wouldn't a kid want to try to play at the best place he can play at? It comes down to the players. The mistake that we as coaches and the NCAA have made is we have somehow always thought that college football is about us, about the coaches, and about the schools. It's about the players. I've always believed that. And I agree with everything Sonny Dykes just said. I don't know why we always think the worst of college athletes. They are much smarter, much more thoughtful. I don't even know why that's brought up. I mean, their character is good. And I'm not even to say it's bad character if you're transferring. But there's this great concern. Are they all that way? Some are more mature than others, obviously. But there's this huge concern, like all of their lives are going to spiral out of control if they decide to leave one college to go to another. And that's simply not true. It's absurd to think that way. That's why Sonny points out it's happening in all these other sports. It already exists. Todd Berry points out, in his opinion, that this is all about academics, and that's why we have them sit out a year, because it's better for them academically. Oh, yeah? Then why do the majority of the sports not have this rule in place? They allow them to transfer and play right away.
And
come on, stop lying to people.
Yeah, and the fact that I always, especially in regards to, now he might have been talking about men's basketball and everything else, but when people throw up academics and in conversation with football, it is just laughable to me because football travels the least. You know, they travel the most luxuriously. I mean, they're missing the least amount of class. So I think he's just really in freak out mode, like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. I like what Sonny Dykes said. Going back to those comments, I think he's spot on, and you said it too. Was it sort of a recruiting pitch too? Like, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear, so maybe that will be endearing, or was it genuine? We'll never know.
Yeah, maybe, but it's not like he's trying to steal kids from Alabama, Georgia, or Texas. I mean, they're not, most often, they're not going to choose SMU over those other schools.
Over those guys. Could he be getting the guys again that Nick Saban likes to run off when they're not as good as, I see that there can be problem. I mean, obviously, Cade Mays leaving Georgia, that hurts Georgia. I'm not saying he was the best player on that offensive line. I mean, he was a good player, a great player.
Yeah, big time talent.
Yeah, big time talent.
You know who's going to be fine?
Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about them possibly being definitely being the favorite in the East and being one of the favorites to win a national title next year. So, yeah, I feel like recruiting's going to go on. Are you going to have to recruit your own team a little bit harder? Yeah, you might have to, especially if you sense a guy is not happy.
Yeah,
but you should be doing that anyway. You should be making sure that your players that are impact players are happy in your program.
Yeah. So I'm not saying you should just be 100% gung-ho at the idea of players being able to leave and play right away elsewhere. If you have concerns about it, sure. I mean, there is going to be some adjustment. Just don't make stuff up and present that as a reason to not allow it when we can read through the lies. And Nick Saban offering up that he can't manage his roster right now should present the greatest eye rolls you can possibly find.
Yeah. If LSU, who loses more guys to the NFL draft than any other program, could win a national title and be just fine. I mean, they lose guys all the time for early draft entries. They're like, Nick Saban is fine. You know how many 5 stars you signed this signing class? Remember that.
Yeah, every coach in the country would trade positions with Nick Saban from a roster management standpoint. We'll come back. 6-5-6
staff management, though.
That's different. But you know what? That's worth pointing out. Staffs are changing all the time. Amazingly, sports go on. We'll go on Sports 180, 656-9900. John Wilkerson, 15 minutes from right now on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us this afternoon on Sports 180. Got all worked up last segment, so how about we find a winner here this segment? 656-WINS is the phone number. Caller number 2 is a qualifier for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. We are getting closer to the big giveaway next week. Caller number 2 to 656-9467 qualifies for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. That means your chance to win a pair of tickets to all of the games for the men's basketball tournament in Nashville coming up next month, plus $500 spending cash. 656-WINS for a chance to win the Coors Light Climb to the Championship.
And that will be given away next Friday during Sports Talk. So yes, everybody is really getting excited about it. And it's not one where you have to be present to win. All the names are going to go in a hopper, and our promotions team, our crack staff, is going to pull out one lucky winner, and we're excited about it.
Yes. So we are getting closer. It's the we're in the final week and a half of Tennessee's regular season. Lady Vols wrapping things up this week. So you'll have the smaller conference tournaments get going here soon, and then the SEC tournament is in 2 weeks, plus the other major tournaments.
How the excitement level, obviously, in Knoxville for basketball is just, it's on the struggle bus. Was that fair to say at this point in time? With
present time, sure.
Yeah. What team, since we most likely won't be looking for the Vols in the big bracket, what team do you think is going to grab your attention the most? We mentioned Maryland earlier.
Yeah.
SEC.
Well, I'm curious what Florida's going to do here. That's Tennessee's opponent on Saturday, so we'll get to see him up close and personal. But it's a team that entered the season with a lot of potential. You had Kerry Blackshear transfer in, Scotty Lewis, talent to really build around, and the start was not great for Mike White's team, but they've played a lot better recently. They took care of LSU, and LSU's not a great team. That's part of the issue here is the league, it has a bunch of solid teams. It doesn't really have any teams that scare you. I think Kentucky's the best. I think it would go Kentucky-Auburn. Right now, Florida's jumping up into that conversation. I mean, how can you say LSU over Florida right now? So I'm curious what Mike White's team does here in the final week and a half of the regular season. They have Kentucky at home in the final week. That's one to pay attention to because they played well at Rupp. Florida did.
Yes.
So if Florida's able to get a home win against Kentucky, that would be another statement. But this week will be a good test because they're going to be on the road, and Tennessee's going to have, a chance to win that game. And if Florida comes up and plays well, that's a sign maybe that they put things together. If Tennessee beats Florida, well, everybody's going to be saying, okay, nice little run there, but you're still not all the way back.
Reminds me a lot of Konzo's last season here at Tennessee, where you had high expectations, you were frustrated for, I would say, a good part of the season, and then boom, all of a sudden you're in the Sweet 16. If that happens to Florida, it would just not surprise me, because crazy things happen in basketball when the tournament rolls around.
Joel, thoughts on Florida? Any other team that would be on your radar? If you want to go non-SEC, a team that that's not an obvious one, not Duke or Kansas or Gonzaga, that you'll be paying attention to at the start of the NCAA tournament?
Obviously, things can change the next 2 weeks, but right now I think Creighton is playing some really good basketball, and Greg McDermott is quietly become a candidate for Big East Coach of the Year. They've gone on the road. They have road wins recently against Marquette, Seton Hall. They picked up a win over Butler recently, and now they're a half game out of first place in the Big East, so kind of up there with Seton Hall and Villanova. They've been playing some really good basketball lately. I think Tyshawn Alexander has been fantastic for them. Mitch Ballack's one of the best outside shooters in the country. So that's kind of a team that doesn't get talked about a lot as making a deep run in the tournament. Right now, Lenardi has them as a 3 seed. So that might be somebody to watch just for a non-SEC team that's not usually on everybody's radar.
Could maybe the most fun story potentially be Dayton?
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about them. Are they legit?
Yes.
Yeah, they're good. And they might have the, I mean, it's up for debate. They might have the best player in the country.
Their two losses have come against Kansas and Colorado on a neutral court in overtime. They have not lost in regulation all season.
That bodes well for an exciting run in the tournament.
Yeah.
You've only had two losses in a neutral site all season. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and Dayton has great basketball support, so Obi Toppin and company, we'll see what they can do at the tournament.
Bill Self said after they beat them in the finals of the Maui Invitational, we had to play our best basketball game that we had played all season. Granted, this was November, so a lot of basketball since then, but he said we had to play our best game just to get this game to overtime. And they're more than Obi Toppin. I think Jalen Crutcher is fantastic. So you kind of look around that lineup, Ryan Mikesell and all those guys, it's a really good basketball team, but Obi Toppin, without him, this team isn't nearly anything close to what it has been, but Anthony Grant's done a great job with that program this year.
Yeah, so you're not going to see the Vols in the NCAA tournament. The tournament itself could be fun. As wide open as it appears to be, that adds to the intrigue, right? You could actually see a Dayton make a run. And we've seen schools like that.
San Diego State, everybody's talking about them. Yeah.
Is this Gonzaga's year? I think there's a lot of that. I mean, Baylor's still a team where people are going to wonder, okay, are they going to be for real tournament time? And I think Scott Drew, I think he's turned into an underrated coach in some ways. But let's see there, as Kansas will probably go in as the favorite. Duke's lost the other night. Was it two nights ago to Wake? Man, that's not what you're looking for.
No, not when they're trying to hang on to a two seed and they're like the lowest two seed there is right now in Joe Lunardi's bracketology. I'm just wondering, when you look at it, we won't know till after the tournament, when you see, pulling up Joe Lunardi, San Diego State on the one line, you see Dayton on the two line, Baylor, who doesn't have a huge following in college basketball at this point in time, Maryland, who has had success in the past, is now back. Is that going to hurt viewership of the NCAA tournament, or does it help? Because they're new teams. That's what I think too, because North Carolina's not there. Tennessee's not there. Well, I don't know. I just think, not that Tennessee is some huge
Tennessee
brand.
Doesn't really have much of an impact.
But we watch, there's a lot of, they skew ratings in the state of Tennessee. We watch a lot of sports in the state of Tennessee.
That is definitely true. Yeah. But not having as many of the big name brands necessarily at the top, and then there is no individual star power in college basketball this year. So it won't affect interest, but in terms of casual viewership, yeah, it'll take a hit, I would say. We'll come back. John Wilkerson for the next half hour. We will make him tell you where Tom Brady will play football in 2020, so you don't want to miss it. That's next right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports Talk taking over at 3 o'clock. Having a good time on this beautiful Thursday afternoon.
It is absolutely gorgeous. I'm loving this weather. Could have been like this yesterday for a little baseball action. Can we give the Diamond Balls a break?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Should be better in February, right?
I still think it should. You should not go from Monday 63 to Wednesday snow hits me in the eye. That just should not happen.
John Wilkerson, you might say, though, that the Tennessee baseball team raining down on its opponents. Raining blows upon them.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, they're off to a good start.
Look,
no,
I'm feeding you material
it.
Here for the mic. Get ready for the season.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'll take a couple of notes. I probably should.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Still say hello, as John Wilkerson will be with us for the next half hour. But Tennessee's baseball team, a 12-1 win over Asheville yesterday.
Yeah, so I guess that's, what, 27-1, 27-2 the last couple of days. So, not a bad week. It's a nice way to follow up that trip to Texas.
Yes, yes. So things are going quite well for Tennessee's baseball team, still unbeaten on the season. John, we spent a good amount of time in the first hour talking about the Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington discussion on ESPN this morning about Tom Brady. As Darlington was stronger in his comments, saying he would be stunned at this point to see Brady return to the Patriots. Schefter is continuing his thoughts from all the way back in October that it's unlikely Brady returns to the New England Patriots. What do you think when you hear this brought up again?
Well, I I think it's fair to speculate, but I also think that's all it is. Because who knows? I do think that they make valid points mm-hmm. when you take a look and what has been consistently discussed, and that is for somebody in Tom Brady who took less money, gave him a pretty nice discount compared to market value, he has to be frustrated with the lack of building around him with what he hoped that money would be used for. And last year it had to be perhaps as frustrating a season as he's experienced as the Patriots quarterback.
But in defense of that, it's not like there's they haven't tried. I mean, they go out and get Sanu and give up way too much for, I don't know. I just feel like they've done bad deals instead of neglecting to try to put pieces around him.
What? Neither one's going to make him feel better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get that. But you do feel better when people are at least trying, right, than not trying? Or are you just 100% results-based?
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at it a number of ways. Because if they're trying, they've given up assets to get players who aren't very good. So it affects your confidence of what they'll have for you next year, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, kudos for trying, but if you're Tom Brady, it is results oriented. So yeah, that, in some ways it might make you feel worse, because how confident are you that next year they'll have the right pieces in place?
Well, especially because Belichick is not great at drafting wide receivers, so it would have to be done during free agency.
So if Gronk says, I'm done, I'm staying retired, so that guy's not coming back, because that's a guy that you know you could count on.
Yep.
If he's not coming back and you lack confidence that N'Keal Harry's going to take a big step forward, then where is your belief that Belichick's going to get you a bunch of really good talent around you when you can look elsewhere and already see it in play? So in some ways, that would make me feel worse than if they haven't tried and they hadn't given up a pick for Mohamed Sanu. They could say, well, we're going to do it this time. But because they've tried and they brought in guys that you don't believe in, if that's the case, and mm-hmm. there are indications that he didn't this past year, I would think that would actually be worse in some ways. Trying and failing is not good in sports.
It's definitely not good. And I get your point. I think they only had limited options last year at what they could do. I mean, we still have a long way to go in free agency.
The option of drafting A.J. Brown.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
Went with N'Keal Harry.
Yep. And that,
or Deebo Samuel.
Well, that's true.
Or DK Metcalf.
Or,
yeah,
keep going.
Yeah, there are a number of players they could have taken, and they took the wrong one, at least based on year one results. Maybe Harry makes a big jump this year.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be a great chemistry there.
There was not.
Between quarterback and receiver, and a lot of frustration as you just continually saw him. You're supposed to go this way. You're supposed to go that way.
Yeah.
That was wrong. Yeah.
In fact, why don't you just go that way, and that's to the sideline.
Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah.
You go long.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could be a part of the frustration. It's at least a possibility. It's more of a realistic scenario, it seems, for Brady to leave than if we had this conversation a year ago about the 2020 season, right?
Right, and it wouldn't seem imaginable, but you also know that he knows that the end is near.
Yeah.
He says there could be as many as three more seasons that he wanted to play until he was 45.
Yeah, he's 43, or turning 43 before the start of the season.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So two more seasons, perhaps, at most, or, well, two that he has said that he wants to do, and who knows how good a shape he's in or how well he performs.
And reports have, or at least speculation in terms of contracts, they've revolved around a two-year deal, right? The Raiders report that came out a couple of weeks ago was a two-year, $60 million deal.
And I can't believe just 100? Is that only 100 jerseys you've got at the house for when he signs with the Raiders?
That are at the house, yes.
Ah, okay. That makes perfect sense. You got to keep those.
If a brown box shows up from the UPS guy at your house, John, you know it's a... You just need to store those in your extra room for Josh.
No, that's going to be something else.
Yeah, I can see just, but only the white ones, huh?
Mm. Can't give that away.
I can understand.
Yeah.
Because it's good business.
Sure.
But I do think that it would be a two-year deal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be very interested to see. I would think that the chances would be Vegas more so than L.A., where so many want to say, oh, it's either going to be the Chargers or the Titans. I just don't see how the Chargers continue to be in that conversation, because they're really bad.
Terrible. Why would you go there? You have no fans. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, the stadium, yes, it's going to be amazing. Apparently, they finally got like this one part of the roof right, and mm-hmm. they were able to take the netting down. But It's Holly weird.
Very much so.
Yeah, it is. I would rank the Chargers lower than some have as well. Part of the appeal would have to be it is L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, who can't stay healthy, not his fault, but he hasn't been able to, and Melvin Gordon.
If he's happy.
Yeah, they've put talent in place there before. I think Austin Eckler actually would be a great fit next to Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't question that.
Yeah, it's also a franchise, though, where you wonder, okay, can they really put it all together? And you're playing in the division with Pat Mahomes. That's not going to be easy. What do you think of the Titans discussion where they're not settled yet with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, and you have the obvious New England connections in the front office and with the head coach?
Very compelling.
Yeah.
And you do wonder, I mean, you have to love what you've got potentially in Henry. I mean, he still has to be signed.
Right.
And so I wonder if that's, if indeed they pursue that path, do they have to go to Tom Brady and say, we're good, he's coming back, we're bringing him back, and you've got an offensive line that at times has been pretty good, other times not so much, but you would have to love what you have at receiver and also perhaps what you might be able to get done at tight end.
And John Robinson, he was saying earlier this week, going back to your Derrick Henry comments, they're locking Henry down. I mean, they are getting that deal done. He was very confident in that. A little more shy to go ahead and commit fully to Tannehill.
And that's fair, because Ryan Tannehill had, I think, his best season this past year, and it was essentially half a season. So you don't know if this would be right, you know, picking up right where you left off. I do think that for the Titans, I think the Vikings made a big mistake when they didn't re-up with Case Keenum, simply for the fact that you had great chemistry, everything was working in the right direction, but they let Keenum and Bridgewater and Bradford all go. So I can understand some of that, but I just think that you had an NFC championship team, NFC championship game appearing team.
Yeah.
And then you haven't been close since.
Titans fans seem split on the idea, from what I can tell, on Brady versus Tannehill.
Yeah. And I honestly don't understand
you're not
that.
Split.
It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, you can put any other name next to it. It doesn't have to be Tom Brady. When you look at career stats, I get it. He's old. You're probably only going to have him for 1 or 2 years. But if that means making it to the Super Bowl, if that means winning a Super Bowl, I sign me up. 10 days out of 10.
Favre or Tannehill, which way would you go?
Favre. Even with the crazy pictures.
Okay.
I've missed that discussion.
Well, Favre, he has good statistics. He's a little further removed from the game.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Tom.
Great thing. Still take him. Take him off the couch right now.
There you go.
The thing I miss most about Brett Favre, bottom line scroll on ESPN, there will be a press conference to say that there'll be another press conference.
That was a good run.
We've got that for you coming up at noon.
Yes.
So ESPN4, the Favre.
The Favre.
Life's on the line. Brady's playing where next year?
Life's New England.
Sticking with the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I'll just believe it when I see it and not before.
Yeah.
I get these well-connected men that I respect that have great reporting statistics. They're saying they're going to be shocked if he's back in New England. I just can't go there mentally.
Now, if you took the Patriots off the table,
yeah,
I think it would be tough to choose a team other than the Raiders, simply for what they have in place. They need to upgrade what they've got going on at receiver, but they also have some guys that you think can continue to grow and make progress and develop as players. You've got an outstanding tight end. You've got a wonderful young running back. And so I just a very good offensive line.
Yeah, and I would think that if Brady is going to consider the Raiders, that probably means he has respect for John Gruden. I don't know much about their relationship, what would be there. But if he's choosing the Raiders, I would think with Gruden's history in the league, that Brady would think fondly of him.
And just think, it was not that many months ago that we thought that contract for 10 years was an absolute joke. And now you're
could
in this.
Could still be.
Well,
yeah,
that's
to be determined.
Yeah, but the pendulum is definitely swinging the other way.
The Fox Bet odds for where Brady will play next year, New England still the favorite, clear-cut favorite. then the Las Vegas Raiders, Indianapolis Colts, LA Chargers, Tampa Bay 10-1 ahead of the Titans at 12-1.
Wow. I'm also surprised that the Bucs getting as much love as they are in that regard. Is it just, is it Bruce Arians? Is it his presence? Because I
he
don't
could
know
win with any quarterback. Just ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do have Arians and Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
Well, very good point.
And O.J. Howard.
Yes.
There are weapons in place. And it would be, Heather brought up.
Actually, got a couple of good tight ends.
That's right. Braid's pretty good.
Yep.
So that would still seem like a less likely destination, but there is also a lot of guessing going on right now.
That's all there is going on.
Could not imagine seeing Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform.
But yeah, I brought up the point earlier. Would you rather see Pat Mahomes in the AFC title game, or would you rather see him in the Super Bowl?
Say that again now?
If you're Tom Brady.
If you're in the NFC,
yes.
You
yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Super Bowl, I guess, is always the answer.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah. You know, then you got a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
But first, you'd have to get by Carolina, the Saints, and the Falcons if you're the Bucs.
NFC South starting to sound a little bit better, actually. We'll come back. John Wilkerson with us for another segment. Heather Harrington here. I'm Josh Ward. 656-9900 is our phone number as well. With you until 3 when Sports Talk will begin on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, little Bruce.
That's right. And I said Bucks when I was going the rest of the NFC South. It was Falcons that my brain missed.
Well, Tom Brady doesn't need to worry about
that's
him.
Right.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't if they played.
Yeah, right.
With or without a lead.
Yeah, no, I'm starting to talk myself into the Bucks here, outside of the obvious choice. I mean, actually, if he goes to the Bucks and they just win another Super Bowl and Raiders now with John Gruden are over there hanging out at 7-9, that's not so good.
What do all people want to do that get a little older in New England? They all move to Florida. Why haven't we considered this before now? I mean, Tom Brady really in football years is like 75.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we've just become used to the fact, well, he's going to be 43 playing in the NFL.
It's just crazy.
I think if the Raiders do indeed, when they make their pitch, that John Gruden should get first with Frank Caliendo and let Caliendo make the pitch as John Gruden over the phone. I just think that would be signed, sealed, and delivered.
You come into the studio and you mock and you laugh.
He's been throwing darts ever since he walked in. Yeah.
Going pretty good over there, John Wilkerson. Yeah. I would say the Broncos a lock to not land Tom Brady, but we'll throw that in there as well.
That's right, because the Broncos are a lock.
Yeah. And I have seen this brought up. There's going to be the obvious comparison while their situations are different to Peyton Manning going through free agency. One thing, we just never see this. This level of a superstar player hit the market. It just
quarterback,
at quarterback especially. We just rarely see it. The Reggie White, Deion Sanders, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning being available. But I've seen comparisons to Peyton a little bit when he went to Denver. Once he got there, Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker, they all of a sudden became better receivers, right? Because Peyton was there.
Yes.
So we should, I think at least we should probably look at okay, what will they be if Tom is added, compared to what they were before, because when Peyton got there, and he was incredible when he got there, he sets a touchdown record, 55 touchdowns in a season. But like if we talk about Tampa, well, they could actually become even better. While Jameis can, you know, he can sling it, he can also sling it to the other team. That's something you would factor in. The Raiders personnel, the Chargers personnel, the Titans. You know, AJ Brown in year two could be an even better wide receiver with Tom Brady, assuming he's going to play at a high level himself.
And I also wonder exactly how he weighs his decision-making, the strength of the defense is. I mean, how important is it? I would think it might be as important as it's ever been and might be just a step below the guys that would be protecting him as well as who he has to throw it to or hand it off to.
Yeah, there could be elements to this that Tom will either factor in or weigh more heavily than we do in talking land.
Yeah, because we don't know what his priorities are. I mean, do you have to go and go to a plug-and-play team where you are going to be competitive? I would think that would be very high on the list. How much of a relationship do you want to have with front office people or the current head coach would probably be something else. Good place to live. I mean, you know, they're going to be living in the best place that any city has to offer. So I think that's kind of a moot point. I mean, they live in New England now, and that you have to brave the weather to get around. So I don't know.
Yeah, Tom and Giselle are just going to be spending a couple of days riding around with their realtor, checking out different stops. Probably not going to go that way. Yeah.
Showing up at schools.
Yeah.
So we can see all the rumors.
That's one of my favorite parts. We had it with the Titans a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That there was NBA. A rumor that Tom and Giselle, and then I think just Giselle, that they were doing some touring. Was it Montgomery Bell Academy?
Yes.
I think
yes.
NBA is where they were checking out. Just Tuesday afternoon, stopping in, see if we can work you into the schedule here.
What does the lunch menu look like? Yeah.
I don't think Giselle's going to have to be waiting in line like I did for preschool, okay? Like, yeah, I think they try to keep it fair, but
a little differently for the Bradys.
But she'd probably still be knocking out those laps around the parking lot.
Yeah, she's got to stay in shape, John. Yeah. But how? I just think, and maybe this is the drama queen in me that likes to kind of poke at different people. I just think it would be so funny for all of the people that just like the Titans because the Titans are in Nashville, but were really Peyton fans, if Tom Brady either went to Indianapolis or Nashville. I just think it would be really funny because they have hated. Tom Brady has been their nemesis. It's not like they were just indifferent to him.
Mm-hmm.
They very much disliked him.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, so you're not going to root for him now? It conjures up when Urban Meyer went to Ohio State and Jeff Jacoby was in such a quandary.
Yeah.
And then he takes him to the title and he's like, oh, I love Urban Meyer.
What have I ever said different?
I've got a great message I can pull up from a group chat when the Titans do knock off the Patriots. And the message was directed toward Tom Brady, all caps, suck it, loser. For them to then end up playing for the Tennessee Titans. Also, loser was a little bit over the top for Tom Brady. I think he's won a few battles in his time, but on and off the field. But nevertheless.
System quarterback.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that as well, because there is going to be some of that. Well, yeah, it's all Belichick. We've heard that before. Or Brady. I mean, it can go both ways. We'll hear that with Belichick as well.
Yeah, and I do wonder exactly what his thought process is right now.
Sure.
Because I wonder if it's one, both, neither, that how high up the list of priorities is it to be able to prove just for a moment that, yeah, it was me.
Well, most That's of this conversation of has been centered around what Brady wants, right? As mm-hmm. if there's just an assumption that Belichick is all in on doing what it takes to have Brady back. Perhaps Belichick is as interested or close to it to see what the next chapter could be, too.
I think the only person that's all in on Brady retiring a Patriot is Bob Kraft. That
sure
seems
right.
to be the only person. It looks like Tom Brady's got one foot out the door. I'm sure Bill Belichick is looking around because they're both very confident in their own abilities.
Besides the CBA deal, which actually is not all that interesting, it's just going to get a ton of attention.
Mm-hmm.
The Brady storyline, that'll lead the way until that's settled, would you say?
Yes.
And March 18th is the start of free agency, so we're looking at it about 3 weeks.
Correct. And I wonder if that will be the first deal or if Tom wants to see what others do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. How long will it take? Yeah, that's a good question.
Is it going to be the last day at midnight, like 11:59? Are we really going to be talking about it till the last day, the last second?
When's the last day?
What, a free agency?
Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Like, just up until...
Eventually, he wants to be with the team to get started, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I would think that he wants to get something done as quickly as possible.
Well, yeah, because you got the OTAs and everything.
Exactly, yeah. If he's leaving.
If he's leaving.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to just show up in August.
Yeah.
Say, hey, guys, I'm here to be your quarterback. Although, if that's what he wants to do in Vegas, take it.
Oh, well, I just needed this to be over. I just want to know.
What would the reaction be if all of a sudden you see the Jags? We've decided to trade Nick Foles because we would like to introduce as our new quarterback, Tom Brady.
Well,
he loves London. He can play a couple of games there.
Yeah. That franchise.
They won't be flexing that one.
That's right. Jacksonville.
Yeah. If Foles leaves, Minshew, his backup spot is open. So,
and Dobbs.
There it could be. Yes, for sure. All right. Well, John, we appreciate the added Tom Brady time. We've probably spent too much time on Tom Brady. Now,
your favorite subject.
Yeah, the no one cares comment. I'm still going to push back on that. But yeah, Tom Brady going to dominate the headlines as well. He probably enjoys a little bit of that as well, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
I would.
He plays to it. There's just like many do.
Yeah, there's a reason when he did an online video chat through his Instagram story and he was answering questions. He didn't have to put up on there, where will you play? He put the question up and just shrugged his shoulders. He knew what he was doing when he did that too.
Yeah. Just like a Super Bowl ad.
Same thing. He text messaged Ben Affleck, right?
Shoulder shrug emoji. Yeah. What will they be talking about on Sports Talk at 3 o'clock? Shoulder shrug. Wait until the end of next hour for John Wilkerson to tell you. John, we appreciate it. We'll check in at the end of the 2 o'clock hour.
Always, and look forward to Thursdays. Thank you.
We come back here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal.